One thing we're going to do different today with the message is that my message is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, and then we are going to have a panel discussion later on the same subject. So I was trying to split it half and half, maybe about 15-minute message and a 15-minute panel discussion after our last song. And the goal is to help all of us just get as much out of God's Word as possible. And what we're the focus that I'm going to have today is to drill down deep on one part of the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, Johnny covered a lot of territory on the Sermon on the Mount. And today, I'm going to drill down deep on one, just a few verses from the same section that Johnny had last week. And that is Jesus' statement that you are the light of the world in Matthew 5. We'll read that passage here in a minute. But as I thought about that, I realized this is a unique statement. Jesus is using a metaphor to describe us, but it's the same metaphor he used to describe himself. And in all my research, some of you can add something to me that I didn't find on my research. All the metaphors that Jesus used about himself, this is the only one that he also used to describe us. Because you've got this list up here of metaphors: shepherd, vine, bread, water, door, gate, way, truth, life, resurrection, light. And he never said, now that you're a Christian, you are the gate. Now that you've eaten the bread, you are the bread. No. But when we open up our heart to the light, he says, now you are the light. This is unique. That's a unique use of a metaphor that of Jesus. So there's some special things going on here. And we're going to give some thought to that. So let's read. Why don't we even pray before we read? Lord Jesus, you are our creator. You're our teacher. The things you taught are awesome. They're profound. They're truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit here, and we need your help. We have learned. We want to keep learning. Help us see who you are, what it means to live with you as the light, and you're telling us that we're also lights. Help us understand what that means and live by that. Pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. So Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's the statements we're looking at. And just to remind you that this is a common metaphor pretty much all through Scripture, a lot of Scripture, to describe God. Look at these passages up here from the Old Testament, Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, your light has come. I'm not going to read all these passages, but just highlight the light part. Isaiah 60, 19, the Lord will be your everlasting light. And then John 1, that we're familiar with a lot, 1 through 10. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, describing Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And John 3, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. John 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. John 9, I am the light of the world. Revelation 21, talking about the future with the Lord. The lamp of the city is the lamp. God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 22, end of the Bible. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. God is our light. So it's interesting that Jesus didn't say, you have the light. Now that you have me, you have the light. He said, you are the light. That kind of jolts my brain to think, I am the light. Why, Jesus, I just have you. I'm not you. I'm not Jesus. But Jesus says, you are the light. So I was thinking of some analogies that kind of can help us understand what's going on. And so when we look at the moon, we say, that's the light. That's the night light in the sky. But no, it's not light. It's reflecting the light. But we can say the moon is the light of the night, but it's not really the light. It's just reflecting the light. And a light bulb. Is the light bulb the light? No. It's just a container of electricity. But we can say that light bulb is the light in this room. Both are right. And just, you know, candles, combustible material. It's not the candle that's the light. It just has material that under high heat, it's combustible and produces the light there. So maybe something similar to that's going on. We are the light. When we have the light in us, we become the light in the world. John gives a good explanation when he describes Apostle John here in John 1, describing John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, Jesus, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who's coming into the world. That's all. That's a good explanation. But at the same time, Jesus could say to John the Baptist, you are the light of the world. It's all true. So, and it's another place that's good for us to look at, Paul's use of this metaphor to describe Christians. In Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light to all the Christians he's writing to. Philippians 2, you shine like stars in the universe. All the Christians are shining like stars in the universe. Acts 13, Paul quotes from Isaiah, I've made, God speaking, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And Paul is claiming that for himself and applies to all of us. He's made us lights to the Gentiles. So what does it mean when Jesus said, you are the light of the world? Meaning of this metaphor, Matthew 5, let's look at those verses again to get a clear understanding. After Jesus says, you are the light, he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Okay, the purpose of us being lights is to give light to everyone in the world. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So, meaning, purpose of that is to give light so people can see, ultimately see Jesus, who is the light. And the second purpose here is to give glory or to praise, depending on the translation you're reading. Give glory to God. We give glory. Other people give glory to God when they see the light of Jesus shining in us. And as we think about that, it does us good to think about how dark this world is. This slide up here is a picture of how this world would look without any Christians in it. I think I have it right. Yep, that's it. Black, dark, no light up there. This is from God's perspective. We can say, well, there's a good thing happening there. That's the hopeful spot there. But from God's perspective, without the light of Jesus, it is black, dark. And it's awful. It just, you've all heard the news, thousands of people being slaughtered. It's weekly. Awful. Dads, spouses, fathers being slaughtered, sent off to slaughter. And then people dying from addiction, people cutting each other down, verbally destroying marriages, destroying relationships. It's just so much suffering and darkness in this world. When I drove school bus, that was a microcosm of a dark world. These are young kids, junior high kids. I'm picking them up at nice, good quality American homes. Kids get on the bus, and darkness is there. I mean, there was fighting, slander, put downs, hate, lust, all that I just see happening on the bus every day. Darkness. And then just amplify that all over the world. And just people are dying of famine. People are dying for a lot of reasons. Government oppressions. I just met another guy from Burma this last week who told me how people are still being slaughtered in his country right now. We don't hear about it on the news. Last Sunday, I visited my cousins down in central Kansas that had land taken away from them to local government needed to build a dam. They paid nothing for their land. Eminent domain, the way they practice there is they just take it and give nothing. The only way they could get money is go to court and go, that's happening in this country? Dark. There's a lot of darkness going on. And Jesus says, you and I are lights. You are the light of the world. And so if it's shining as stars, this Christians, this is from God's perspective, this is what it would look like. It looks like right now. The Christians are the only bright spots in the world. They're the only lights. Because nothing else brings light. Why? If we take the Christians out of there and say, next slide, I think that's black also. Say, okay, what are we going to do about this? We need education. Let's pour in the best education. Is that going to bring light? No. Because it doesn't deal with the problem of darkness. That's sin in our hearts. Well, they need a better government. Democracy! That's the answer. Everyone can choose the best government they want. Is that going to bring light? No. No matter what we try to do to deal with that problem, no matter how many trillions of dollars we throw at it, the best methods, whatever, no light does not remove the darkness. And Jesus says, you guys, all my followers, are the light. So here we are, picture of some candles, lantern, bulb. Doesn't look real impressive, but that's the only light in the darkness. I don't feel like much of a light, but I'm the only light, you and I. That's it. That's the only hope the world has, the light of Jesus. And we are his lights shining through us. So how does this happen? I like Ephesians 4. The whole book really describes the whole scenario of how we're lights. But chapters 4 and 5, if it's only 4 and 5, it's kind of backward logic, because 4 and 5 are talking about how we live, how we know the truth and live by the truth of Jesus. But it's interesting at verse beginning of chapter 5, he says, be imitators of God. When you imitate someone, you look at them and you imitate them. And you look at them carefully and you imitate. Kids are good at doing that with parents. That's what he says, us with Jesus. Look at him and imitate him. Know where to focus. And then later on in Ephesians 5, he says, because you were once darkness, or for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now you are light. Live as children of the light. So that's the outworking of it. So for a simple outline, it's know who you are in the light. Okay, I am a light. I'm a child of God. I'm a light. What do? Focus on Jesus. Look at him. Imitate him. And what does that mean? How will I live by the truth of what he taught? And that's the rest of Ephesians. So it's kind of a simple outline of how we can be lights. And maybe later we'll talk more about stories. But as you and I live that way, rarely, very rarely will people come up and say, oh, Mike, I'm so glad you're a light. You are so helpful to me. Oh, that almost never happens. I think I can only remember two times in my life where someone came up and said, wow, there's just something different about you. And one guy says, I think you're a Christian. And I hadn't said anything. I thought, oh, that's amazing that they could see that. And when I was driving bus, one of the other bus drivers said, there's something different about you. You know, I think you're a Christian. That was encouraging. That is so rare. That is so rare. And people aren't looking for the light because they love darkness rather than light. And the most one that God prepared, did the most awesome thing, was way back when I was at the University of Kansas. A Muslim student that I'd never talked to walks up to me and says, I'm quite sure you're a Christian. Can you tell me how to be a Christian? Muslim guy. And his name was Dia. Both of you have heard that story before. But it's just like, wow, that's a God thing. Because God had prepared him. Jesus had appeared to him in a prison cell. He showed me where the Israelis had pulled his fingernails out, tortured him. He says, Jesus appeared in my cell. And he says, I'm the way to have eternal life. So dad paid him money to get out of there, go to school at the university, and he wanted to find a Christian to tell him how he could become a follower of Jesus. And I had the privilege, just being a little light there. There's a light. I'm going to go talk to him. Wow. So how our light shines brightest. We're going to wrap up with this principle. There's two principles for how our light shines the brightest. One is looking at the light. We've already talked about that from Ephesians 5. Look at it. Imitate it. Then, this one's not so much fun, but suffering makes our light shine brighter. We're going to look at two passages for each of those. The first one is, looking at the light causes us to shine. 2 Corinthians 3:18, one statement there. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we look at the light, we're being transformed. And then the second passage here, the comparison, I thought a campfire. As we sit around a campfire here, there you go. Pretty dark, can't see the faces real clear, but the closer you sit to the fire, the more your face glows. The farther away from the fire, if you're way back there, you won't even hardly be able to see any person's face. But that's a similar picture of us and Jesus. Closer to we see him, looking closely at him, the light of him will be shining off of us all the more. Then the other aspect, suffering makes us shine brighter. 2 Corinthians 4:6-12. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. There's that same principle. Keep your face, look at his face, that's his character, and set my face on him. Two faces together like that produces light. In the face of Christ. But we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The light of Jesus. In jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. Really? I don't like that. For Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body, so then death is at work in you and me, as followers of Jesus, but life is at work in you and other people. How does it shine brightest? Weak vessels, jars of clay that can be broken, and the light can shine out. And when we're under pressure, analogy that I like here is a football team. If I only have a picture of Mahomes here, but if we took Mahomes and Kelsey and put them out on a football field, middle of a stadium, just by themselves, and announced, "Hey, Mahomes and Kelsey are going to have some catching practice today." It's not going to look any more impressive than any other quarterback and receiver. Maybe it might in some ways, but it'd be hard to compare him and other quarterbacks and receivers come out in the field and play catch with each other. I think it'd be very similar. People wouldn't pay that much more money except their reputation. But why do they have a reputation? Because of this next slide. This quarterback has done amazing things under pressure. You put him up against the worst, the most vicious attackers, somehow he's able to get the pass off. And people go, whoa. The light shines brighter. The greater the opposition, the more you do them in, the light just shines brighter and you're more impressed. And we like to watch it. I think Mahomes probably likes it too, at least coming out on top, but he's been wounded much of the illness. Those guys go through a lot. But that's how their light shines. When they're just beaten, put up the toughest team against them, that's where the light's going to shine. And Paul is saying, "I've got Jesus. Bring on the enemy. Bring on the toughest team. And the light's going to shine brighter." So Jesus, our hero, that's who he is. Our star player went up against the worst enemy. None of us would have a chance against him. And looked like he had been done in. But That broken vessel just made the light shine all the brighter when he came out of that grave and appeared to people. And wow, yay, he's my hero. His death and resurrection defeated the worst enemy that we have no chance against. Revelation, his shed blood, broken body, resurrection. And so he says, I'm the light. I've defeated the greatest darkness. He says, okay, Mike, each of you, you're the light too. Wow. Lord Jesus, it's I don't know how to describe it. It's just very sobering for you to say, we are the lights. Because we're excited about you being the light, but we're the lights is another story. But yet, we want to be like the football players and the Chiefs. On the Chiefs team, in one sense, we're with you. We're on the winning team. And it doesn't matter how much we get beat. It doesn't matter what team we go up against. We're the lights of the world. We're the winners. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Help us remember. Pray in your name. Amen.